The intro, and we'll get going.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kaileJohnsen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Scott's taking a break from us, so he's not here. Oh, I was going to say, I've been doing some work on, I've kind of let you guys know about it, but I've been doing some work on getting us on Apple Video, part of their podcast section. So we're on there officially, and at least one of our videos is up there. I'm going to hopefully get the second one, or the next two, I guess all of them for Acolyte are going to be on there. And then eventually I'll start putting
the other stuff.
Tales of the Empire and stuff on there.
Sweet.
But see, part of the issue is Apple doesn't actually host anything. They just link to it. So I had to find a place to put the video, which, as I've told you before, some of it's 7, 8, 10 gigs in size, depending on how long we talk. And so I found there's a place called archive.org, and they basically, anybody can upload anything, any audio or video they want up there. So if you want it archived on the internet forever, that's where you put it. And they let you do this. They actually have instructions on how to do this for podcasts. So
sweet.
I'm uploading them up to there, and they'll be officially hosted from there to wherever we want them to. Spotify lets me upload the videos, but I can't link a RSS feed, which is what, you know, where you put everything at. Every time you get a new episode, you put a new episode in the RSS feed, and it pulls it down automatically. They you have to upload it manually, which is weird. And it basically, like I said before, it basically replaces the audio that's there. So you upload the audio, and then you get the ability to upload a video if you want to, which replaces the audio. I don't understand why it would do that, but anyway. Even if it's a separate feed. So today we're reviewing Star Wars Acolyte Season 1, Episode 3, called Destiny. No two-word titles this time. Remember, notice that?
Notice that.
So that means it's a little different. And the good news is this actually episode goes in the past further, and we find out what happened with our sisters and everything. So we're going to discuss all that. We'll do an unboxing here just in a few minutes, and we'll have a total recap and, you know, give us some opinions and some theories about what's going on. So let me rearrange my cameras here so we can do the unboxing. Give me a sec. I didn't prepare this in advance, so.
Fresh from the box.
There's my tool.
Fresh from the Amazon delivery on your porch.
Oh. That's good. Yeah, okay. So, we're doing an unboxing. Yay.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Yay, shark fuel.
Fancy.
This one's never, ever been opened.
Careful. Careful. Pull away from you. Not towards you.
The tape is there. Wasn't being very cooperative. Oh, of course, there's another box inside of it. And it has paper. And it's got the warning on it, too. It says a warning.
Warning. Warning.
I guess that's the new Funko thing, is to put the warning wrapper on.
It's in danger. That's cool. Even has the Funko on it.
Yeah, I think it's just saying that basically nobody since the factory has touched the insides. You're getting a product that has been untouched by anyone but Funko employees.
Employee number 12.
All right, I got that open. Oh, I don't want to. I don't want you to see.
Cheater. Give me a tease.
It's too much light. It's all right. So it says Anakin Skywalker. Yeah. And he's got goggles on.
A little space racing.
Yeah. So, and it's number 698. Here's the side view. 698. He's got the headphones on and everything, you know, ear protection, I guess.
Yeah.
And his little leather racing hat.
Skull bucket.
Here's the back. It says Phantom Menace Episode 1, so that's the collection. We did the Padme one the other day from this collection. And Watu earlier. I think we've... What else is there? No, that's the only one. I think the Jar Jar's coming soon in the mail. Jar Jar. Actually. So that's the back and the top. And
now.
Well, I've got that light on above my head and I always forget to turn it off. It makes it so dark in here. Let me turn it off and you can.
Well, we're doing a dark series. So it has to be dark.
Yeah. This is a dark series, that's for sure. Yeah, so there's the no reflection, mostly no reflection thing. Yeah, so, and I wanted to tell you, I've started, I went back to all the episodes we've done these unboxings in, and I've written down the item and the number for each one, and I think I'm going to edit the website and put them on each episode that we did, or either that or make a page that has them all, has it listed. You can click on unboxings and it'll have a listing or something. I haven't decided fully. I think I'm just going to do it on each individual page. Ah, Rick went away.
I'm still here.
Had to eat another sandwich. Okay, so I'm back. And that was our unboxing. Yay! Anakin Skywalker from Pod Racing Times. So the episode is episode 3, Destiny of the Acolyte. And we have the director was name was Koganada. No last name, just one name. So this is, you know, somebody pretty important if they can go by one name. Right, Rick? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Writers this time was Jasmine Florinoe and Eileen Shim. The editor was Cheryl Potter. Music was scored by Michael Abels, whatever his name is. And he appears to be the only person that's, you know, staying. Oh no, Rick left. Rick left. There, Rick's coming back. Okay. Our cast is this some of the same people, but they're much younger in this episode, right?
Yeah, they're way younger.
Way younger. And I'm not 100% sure if the Wookiee Kellenic is a Padawan or not. They don't really say or not in the episode. And none of the cast listings say it. It just says Kellenic, so I'm wondering if he even, you know, finished his Padawan before he went into exile or not. I don't know, but maybe we'll find out in another episode. But well, so
he wasn't wearing like the Jedi uniform, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It's kind of interesting. At least that's what I noticed. So there's Master Sol, which was Lee Jun-Jae. Padawan Torben, which was Dean Charles Chapman, the guy you said was from Game of Thrones. Yeah. And then we had the sisters, Little May by Leah Bradley and Little Osha by Lauren Bradley. We had the mother, Anacia, again, which we saw in the first episode, was played by Jodie Turner Smith. And she was I guess the in charge of the entire clan for this episode. The the head witch. There was Master Indira again, Carrie Ann Moss. And I went ahead and put Master Kelaneka because I don't know. But that was Jonas Sudamato. Then we've got some of the witches or members of the clan. Coral was the one that had all the horns that supposedly fostered the kids, carried the babies, I guess. And that was Margarita Leavia, Ensign Rain, Amy Sang, Ensign Eurus was Abigail Thorne, Elder Jalen was Tabitha Algie, Scout Sierra was Sasaki Allen, Ensign Shima was Deborah Rosen. Yeah, so interesting little plan. So we had this episode 3 Destiny that aired on June 11th. Crap, I didn't get the exact time, but it was like 40 minutes long.
I think
And the
it was
timeline,
wouldn't it?
maybe a little bit longer. I
Kind of
forgot to
long,
get the
not bad.
exact time. I'll correct it on the website before I post everything, but with the correct time. But it was Star Wars time was 1:48 before the Battle of Yavin, which the previous episode was 1:32. So we're like 10 years or so in the past for this episode, and all that means that it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. And I'm dehydrated, so I need that.
I drank
All
before you
right.
died.
So our episode starts out on the planet of Brendanock. 16 years earlier, a younger Verosha Anisea, that's her actual full name. She goes by Osha, but it's Verosha. Verosha is meditating in the forest grove beneath a Bunta tree. Which, if you remember, those things are supposed to be poisonous if they eat them.
The leaves, yeah, the Bunta leaves.
She's admiring a butterfly-like insect, and her sister Mayho Anisea, or May, finds her meditating. When Osha says the Bunta tree is beautiful, May replies that the tree is dangerous. And they skipped over here a little bit part here, but she tries to suspend that little butterfly thing in air with her force or whatever, and she can, but she's struggling, right? Looks like she's struggling. But then it looks like when May shows up, May takes over and kind of does it for her. And
Oh,
it's much more, much
a
more
kill.
powerful, at least. Much more comfortable with her abilities, I guess you could say.
Yep.
When Osha sees the tree. Oh, and it's dangerous. May uses her force powers to suspend the insect again until Osha tells her to let the creature go. It's mean. You're being mean to it.
It go. Let it go.
Yeah. When Osha questions her violent tendencies, May counters by asking her why she's always has to run off. Why is she getting herself away from everybody else? Osha is not keen with doing the ascension, but May insists it's the only a ceremony, and Osha agrees to accompany her and her sister back. While walking through the forest, they reaffirm their connection as twins, stating they're always one despite being born two. There's some sort of chanting they're doing or something. And I think that's part of what we hear in the Ascension too, is the whole clan is always one or something like that. While walking in a circle and interlacing fingers, they make a vow about being there for each other. And the twins are interrupted by the Zabarak Mother Coral, who chastises them for leaving the forest walls, fortress walls, and venturing into the woods. When Osha protests, Coral says that the rules are there for her safety. And Coral leads the girls back to the fortress. A younger master Sol watches from behind a tree, which is kind of creepy. Kind of creepy. Made me, you know, I don't want to say this, but I will. It made me almost think about a pedophile. The Jedi are pedophiles looking for little kids.
Well, it's kind of implied with that during this episode.
Kind of.
There's a definite inference.
They're bad. Yeah, whatever. I got a real creepy kind of feeling, and I think maybe that's what we're supposed to get, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Anyway, later the sisters and Coral enter the mountain fortress, populated by females of various species. The two sisters want some spice creams, but Mother Coral initially refuses as punishment for leaving the fortress. You were bad, bad girls.
No.
She relents and says they can have it after the ceremony. Their mother, Anasea, overrules Coral, saying that the girls must have sweet treats. She tells the girls to meet in the common room for training. In private, Coral complains that the girls are running away, but Anasea responds that nobody saw them escaping. Coral also tells her that the Jedi offworlders have moved inland. Anasea thinks their coven is safe from the praying eyes of the Jedi, but Coral is concerned about Osha frequently running away and thinks Anasea is being too lenient. Anasea responds that it is normal for a child to test their boundaries, which is true. Coral says the twins are not normal children, though. True. Later at the coven meeting, Anasea teaches them about the coven and the belief of the thread connecting all things. So they call it the thread, and you know the Jedi call it the Force. She does mention that some call it the Force. She says here she conquers the thread of thin energy with her hands and uses it to summon a blue fruit, which she passes to the girls. Osha snatches it. While some call the thread the Force, Anasea counters, they believe that the thread is not a power that can be wielded. She says that if you pull the thread, it changes everything. She emphasized that the thread is tied to one's destiny and that it binds them to others. So the thread runs through everybody, I guess, is what she's trying to say.
Connects them.
Anasea gets two of her followers to volunteer for a demonstration. They attempt to block the telekinetic approach, but Anasea easily scatters them. She talks about the upcoming ascension tonight, saying that more power will be displayed. Osha and May squabble in the background, prompting Anasea to discipline them by using the thread to push them to the ground. She says, "Hey, you know, wouldn't that be kind of actually cool as a parent, be able to do that every once in a while, just scare your kids by knocking them to the ground real quick?"
That'd be awesome.
I said, "Shut up!" Oh. Okay, I'm sorry.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I thought it was funny. They squabble in the background. Anasea asks the two sisters to practice their powers with her. Despite some difficulty, May manages to deflect Anasea's telekinetic push. Osha shelters behind her sister, basically not doing anything. She's just kind of afraid to. Yeah, Coral warns Osha that she expects more of her. She actually tells her she's disappointed. While the twins leave for their room, the chaperone, Coral gazes at a generator. In their room, May tells Anasea that Osha is nervous about the ascension ceremony tonight. Anasea speaks to Osha directly. When Osha says she does not want to go to the ascension, May says this is how they become witches. Osha is unsure about becoming a witch, but May is insistent. Anasea gets the sisters to hold hands together, explaining that the thread tied them together before they were born. Before they were born? What? She tells them to love each other, and May encourages Osha. Anasea explains that the ascension is about walking through fear and sacrificing a part of yourself. The power of many instead of the power of one. She warns OSHA that the galaxy is a place that does not welcome women with special powers like them. So they're isolated. But they're witches and they're kind of evil. They're not. I see it. Seeing it's always been weird with me because the witches aren't really Sith. They're their own thing. But they're kind of evil. So the Sith kind of like them.
Well, but this is a different order of witches than the Dorimir, right?
Yes.
So they're, I don't know, on a scale, these are a little bit less of the evil, I guess, if you want to use that word. Bad. Because these witches have kind of like stayed to themselves. Like
they isolated themselves.
Something's happened to them because they talk about, you know, starting over again, and then they've like stayed away from everybody else, you know, like,
yep. Maybe they were attacked by there's no empire necessarily right now, but the Republic or somebody, I don't know, some marauders or something, who knows?
Other witches,
it could be other factions of witches.
Yeah,
later that night, members of the Covenant gather above a deep crater in the mountain under two crescent moons. While getting their hair styled for the ascension, the two handmaid witches, by two handmaid witches, OSHA and May talk about spice creams. May sees OSHA drawing in her notebook. OSHA objects to May and hides it. When May complains about OSHA hiding things from her, OSHA says she sometimes wants to spend time alone, do things herself. May insists they are one, but OSHA says they are separate individuals. Two sisters are the only children in the whole community. OSHA is curious about the wider galaxy outside Brendan Nook, but May believes that everything they need is here. As the two moons align with the dotted perimeter lights of the mountain fortress, Coral leads them to the other witches to the ceremonial dance. Anasea walks through the group and explains that they will perform a ceremony that they will have not performed since they've been in exile, because they haven't had any kids, I guess. They say they were hunted, persecuted, and driven from hiding by those who consider their magic unnatural. So somebody. Could have just been regular people too. Like these guys are, you know, Salem Massacre witches. Yeah. You know, we don't.
Yeah. So they're the Salem witch trial.
Exactly. Facing extinction, they were blessed with a miracle by escaping. I don't know. After looking to Coral, she signals that the coven to make way for OSHA and May to enter the ceremony. The witches kneel before the sisters. And May is eager, but OSHA is still nervous. Anasea holds the two girls' hands under the aligned twin moons, and the witches begin chanting about the power of one, two, and three. As the coven chants and dance, Anasea asks May if she will follow the ways of the coven and protect the legacy upon her death. May promises she will. I will. When Anasea conjures up a purple light and places her hand on May's head, forming a tattoo on her left. Anasea tells her to ascend, and May joins the rest of the coven. Anasea then turns her attention to OSHA, asking the same question she asked May, and OSHA hesitates before answering in affirmation. She says, I do, maybe. Before Anasea can continue the ceremony, two witches interrupt with the news that the Jedi have sliced the platform and will be here very soon. Anasea tells Kor to hide and protect the children from among others with her cloaks. Several coven warriors prepare their bows and arrows, but Anasea orders them to stand down, insisting on nonviolence. Holy Jedi way. Intruders enter the courtyard, including Master Endura, Master Soul, Padawan Torben, and Kellenic. So he doesn't say Padawan, doesn't say Master. It says Kellenic.
He's a Wookiee. He doesn't have those titles.
I don't know. I mean, there's, from what we have been told before, there's been only one Jedi Wookiee. So maybe he's not actually a Jedi. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever find out until we get to that episode where Mei is hunting him down and trying to kill him. See if he's got. Well, we did see him, the hunters that were at his house, didn't we?
Yeah, he pulled the gun away from him and snapped it.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
She called him a Jedi because she's like looking for four.
That's true. She did call him a Jedi. It didn't mean he was a master either. He'd be a Jedi, but not a master, as Anakin knows. Endura introduces herself and her colleagues to Mother Anna Sey. When Coral accuses them of trespassing, Endura apologizes, saying that they believed that their planet was uninhabited. Anna Sey voices skepticism. Endura says that Jedi mean them no harm. Anna Sey counters that Jedi have come armed and unannounced. Osha is curious about the Jedi, but Mei tells her to remember Anna Sey's warning. Osha ignores her and peers through the gap in one of the witch's cloaks. When Anna Sey asks what they want, Endura looks at Sol. She expresses concern that the Coven is training children in the violation of Republic law. Oh, so there's a law where only the Jedi can train them, I guess? I don't know. Republic law. Anna Sey responds that they are outside the Republic jurisdiction. Coral denies that they are children of their coven. And Kalanek cranes for a look around the coven, but before grunting in Shirwiki, sensing movement, Endura invites the children to come out, saying they mean no harm.
Come, child.
Yeah. Sol sees a glint of gold from Osha's cloak. Osha walks through the crowd and approaches Sol, and Sol kneels to introduce himself to each of them. Endura asks Osha if they can meet her sister also. And Osha looks at Anna Sey, who gives a permission nod. Osha points upstairs as Mei exits the crowd. When Endura asks where is their father, Anna Sey replies that they have no father. Sol notices the ascension markings on Mei's forehead, which was not there this morning. Which is creepy, because they were watching them a little close, if they know that.
They know that.
Yeah. The witches accuse the Jedi of wanting to take their children. Sol disagrees. As the witches react with hostility, he prepares to draw his lightsaber in combat. Endura calls for restraint, and Sol slowly, gently shows his lightsaber to Osha, making it look like he wasn't going to do what he was going to do. He allows Osha to feel the lightsaber.
Show and tell.
Yeah. I was just going to show it to her. I wasn't going to light it or anything. Kill anybody or anything.
Just to make sure it wasn't pointed towards her head.
Yeah. Sol invites Osha to be tested and trained as a Jedi. Osha looks to her mother, Anna Sey, for permission, and Mei looks at him and the other Jedi wearily. Anna Sey stares at Torben, causing his eyes to turn black. And he kind of went limp, too. Oh, Rick's trying to do it, too. Oh, no. Sol snatches his lightsaber back from Osha, where in Kalaneka growls with terror. Torben begins gasping for breath. Can't breathe either. Anna Sey demands that the Jedi leave in return for restoring Torben to his right mind. Osha asked her mom for permission to take the Jedi test. Endura reminds Anna Sey that Osha has the right to take the test on her own. NSA releases her grip on Torben, causing his eyes to return to normal. NSA reluctantly arranges for Osha to be brought to the Jedi encampment for testing the following day. When Adura asks about Mei, NSA reluctantly acquiesces, and the Jedi exit the courtyard.
So that's the part where they're like children thieves.
It was a little weird. I mean,
we've talked about it before in the past, like, you know,
they always, of,
you know, kids and Jedi too.
Exactly. Well, the Empire was looking for kids because they wanted to, you know, mind control them and train them for stormtroopers. And I guess the Sith do have, you know, their acolyte that's young and such, but not like the Jedi, because the Sith, you know, the main principle is the power of two. So there's always two of them.
Yeah.
A master and an apprentice or whatever. So if you see one, there's always another one somewhere. That's what you're supposed to think. But
well, and we also know from Bad Batch that they were taking kids because they were wanting the Metachlorums. So, I mean.
Right, right. Right. You know, and that's. Exactly. And that's after. After the.
Yeah, after this time period.
It's during the Clone Wars, but it's before the first Death Star blows up, basically. Yeah.
So we've been on for generations.
Right. All right. So the NSA asks Coral to gather her advisors while Coral sends the children to bed. Later, NSA meets with her advisors. Coral advocates for killing the four Jedi. But others urge caution, fearing retribution of the Republic. NSA proposes instead that the girls should take the tests in order to appease them, appease Osha. Coral objects, fearing that they will lose the girls. When NSA asserts her authority, Coral counters that she carried the two children, and NSA replies that she created the twins. When Coral asks what if the Jedi discover how she created them, Elder Nasa proposes that twins take the test but fail in order to avoid conflict with the Republic and keep the twins in the coven. So they want them to fail the test on purpose. But yeah, so here we find out that the twins were technically created by magic.
Yep.
And that makes me also think about how Anakin was created. Because he didn't have a father either. And her mother said that she just became pregnant somehow. She didn't know how. She didn't have sex or anything, but she became pregnant. So that makes me wonder if this kind of power has been used for Anakin too.
Could have been. It was those darn witches. They're always.
Either that or they taught Palpatine or somebody how to use the same power.
Broomsticks.
Yep. Broomsticks, that's it. The following morning, NSA briefs Mei and Osha about their plans. When Osha asks how they should fail, she suggests telling the Jedi the opposite of what is in their heart. Mei tells Osha that if they pass, the Jedi will take them from their mama. When Osha and Mei argue about whether the Jedi are good or bad, NSA says the issue is not about good or evil, but rather who should wield the power. Oh, NSA says that while Osha may want to be a Jedi, their interest may change like the seasons. So she might want to be a Jedi today, and tomorrow she wants to be a witch. And then tomorrow, the day after that, she wants to be a Sith. I don't know. I think it's interesting that they've been focusing a lot on the witches. And, from the original series, we've always thought of only only two factions. There's the Sith and the Jedi, but there's actually three. There's the witches, the Sith, and the Jedi.
That we know of.
That we know of, yeah. Unless there's a robot clan, too. They can use the Force. I don't know. Coral and the scouts lead the twins to the Jedi's red-striped white starship. As they approach the ship, Osha tells May that she does not want to lie and says that and say what's in her heart. Coral summons May. Before separating, May asks Osha to remember their promise. Well, to lie, basically. And Osha reluctantly says, she'll keep her promise. While May undergoes her test, Osha walks around the Jedi encampment and takes interest in the Wookiee Jedi Kalaneka. Says it right there, Jedi. Wookiee Jedi Kalaneka, who is repairing a damaged speeder bike. Later, May exits the starship and smiles at Coral, which, you know, I guess she lied. Padawan Torben ushers Osha into the ship. As Torben kneels, Osha takes interest in his lightsaber and asks how he got it. Torben explains that he had to go through a trial to earn one. Lots of trials, he said. Torben then takes a blood sample from Osha before ushering her into the living area. Indira asks Osha to divine what the image is on the screen and tell them what she sees. When Sol holds a turned away a screen, Osha claims she sees a starship on the screen when actually what shows is the Loth cat. He smiles and Sol smiles and says, correct. You got it right. It was wrong. Sol toggles the image to a space station, but Osha says it's a mountain. And he says it's correct again.
Correct.
You're correct. Oh. Sol asks Osha if someone asked her to fail the test on purpose. Indira asks Osha if her family does not want her to be separated from her. Osha shifts her eyes around nervously. I don't know what you're talking about. Sol speaks to Osha and says that he was discovered to be force sensitive by the Jedi at the age of 4. And Sol says that he felt different from his family, says that he can empathize with her. Sol was scared to leave with the Jedi. He got to meet thousands of other children like him. Sol asks Osha to have the courage to make up her own mind. After some reflection, Osha decides that she wants to be a Jedi. I want to be a Jedi.
Well, she also was like other kids. She didn't realize that there were other kids.
She wants to see other kids, yeah. Yeah, right. That's part of what it's going on too. But Sol says she must have the courage to tell her family of her decision. Following the test, a conflicted Osha exits the starship. Torben waits on the ramp, realizing what Osha has done. May gives an angry look and runs off. Helenek watches and growls in concern. He's like,
yeah, well, she understands him. That's the crazy thing. So, like, their language must be a pretty universal one. Because she was able to talk to him.
There's also an implication that Jedi have an easy time with other languages.
True.
Because Luke Skywalker understands pretty much everything that makes a difference. He understands the droids and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so, and most of us don't understand. And I don't think Han Solo understands R2-D2. But Luke can talk sentences and stuff with him. Anyway, yeah, I think it's just a, you know, universal language thing going on in their head with the Force. I don't know. They have a translator that automatically happens. Yeah, I mean, she understands him, and it seems like she knows exactly what he's saying when he says something. Especially at the bike or whatever when he said something.
Yeah, yeah.
Later that night, May and Osha meet with the coven. Osha says she told the Jedi the truth. Mother Anisei says telling the truth is not always as simple. That's simple. While May is angry with Osha and tells her she lied and broke her promise. Anisei thinks the Jedi played a mind trick, but Osha says that she truly wants to be a Jedi and explore the galaxy. Meet other children. She says she does not want to be a witch. May is angry and attacks Osha. Coral restrains May and ushers her out of the room. Yeah, she starts throwing a fit. Like, why? Why did you do this? Why are you doing this to me? Osha apologizes to Anisei, and Anisei says that destiny is not decided by an ephemeric force unless her choose. While aware that she will not see her family again, Osha tearfully affirms her decision to be a Jedi. Anisei says that she will discuss Osha's wish with the rest of the council. And Osha retreats to her bedchamber after she packs her bag. Or where she packs her bag. She touches her blue soft toys and then picks up a triangular-shaped journal. When one of the pages of which is etched by a Jedi symbol. So, okay. May enters the room and says she will not let her leave and join the Jedi. She snatches the journal and locks Osha inside the bedroom. May uses an oil lantern to set the journal ablaze after Osha begs her to let her out and stuff. The fire spreads throughout the building and into the bedroom. Trapped, and Osha uses a tool to unlock a narrow passageway, which leads to a larger passageway. So it's like a weird escape tunnel. And I want to say something here before we get a little bit further, but I saw a lot of stuff on the internet about this. There was there's talk about it in, I went to imdb.com to look up some stuff that I needed for the cast and whatever. And they had a thing in there that there was a mistake that was made in the flames and everything, because you see the flames engulf the walls and the floor and everything, but there's no wood on the floor. There's no wood on the walls. It's all rock and dirt.
I noticed that. Yeah, it's all stone.
I'm like, I saw that. I noticed it too, but I didn't really think about it that much. I was like, why is that burning? It's rock. And then I didn't think about it after that. But
she's a witch and she's got magic flame.
Exactly. Of course, it was oil too. So oil is different. Oil can stick to the rock and stuff and burn, but that there wasn't that much oil anyway.
True.
So it's on fire. She's trapped and Osha uses a tool to unlock a narrow passageway which leads to a larger escape passage. Through the grate, Osha hears the screams of the other witches. As Osha approaches a generator, she sees her sister May running up the generator stairs. Shortly later, the generator explodes, creating a hole in the walkway between Osha and May. Sol runs into the fortress, calling for Osha. When May reveals that her mother is dead, Osha asks what she has done. What have you done? What have you done to us? May returns the question. The walkway suddenly gives away, and May slides into the chasm below. Osha falls, but Saul pulls her up to safety. Dun, 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 dun. Sticks his hand down there and grabs her.
Got her.
Saul says, I've got you. I've got you. Just pull up. You're not falling.
Pull.
They walk through a smoky hall strewn with bodies of witches. The two flee to the fortress courtyard where Osha sees her dead mother, Anisei. Sol pulls her away as the fortress crumbles and fire is spread across the witch's fortress. Later, Osha wakes aboard the Jedi starship with a breathing mask around her face. Sol tends to her and tells her that she is safe. When she asks where she is, you're safe now. You're on a starship. We're going to Coruscant. Going to Coruscant. Endura and Torbjorn watch in the near door. we're going to Coruscant, and he tells Osha that May started a fire, destroyed everything, and killed everyone, including Mama. Osha wants to go back and search for May, but Sol says there's nothing back there. Sol offers to train Osha as a Padawan and hugs her. He promises her protection. Creepy.
Creepy old man.
Yeah. Back on Brynduk, May is relieved that to have survived the explosion that destroyed the coven. She faces the Boonta tree and where she found Osha meditating at the beginning of the episode. And then the credits roll. We hear something in the background, some voice in the background. I think she's calling to Osha in her mind or something. I don't know. We hear a voice in the background too. Don't you remember kind of hearing that?
Well, we don't know what else is on that planet. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the only life that we know, right?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So that was, interesting episode. It's more story than action, I guess, which may have not made it as exciting, but like I said, there's a lot of stuff on the internet where they basically say that this entire episode ruined all of Star Wars. It was some of the people said, which I thought was that's stupid, but
did its job because it filled the backstory of what we didn't know from episode 1 and 2. Like, and I think there's more to it, obviously, but this was a great filler, I thought. I mean, I thought this was a perfect episode to follow up with 1 and 2.
It was the backstory that we needed.
A little bit of the backstory.
Right. We still don't know why they're there or you know what's going on with that coven, you know, how they do stuff every day. We don't know any of that stuff. We just know that
why the girls were
like, right, we don't know why they were created, any of that stuff. I guess maybe because if they don't have children, they don't have a way to carry on their coven.
I mean, I think that's what they're implying or inferring. I think the big takeaway that we get from this is that Osha is not the stronger of the two.
Right.
At least with, you know, stuff. Now that we may find that might be different, but at a young age, May is the stronger of the two.
Right. And, we know from episode 1 and 2 that she quit the Jedi too. And I'm wondering, you know, if it's a confidence thing, you know, May is confident in her abilities and Osha's maybe not. True. Or is afraid of her abilities, maybe.
Could be.
Maybe she associates them with being evil or something. I don't know. She did say something about May being bad and stuff and being evil or whatever.
Well, it's the yin and the yang. You got one light, one dark, you know.
Right, right.
Right. So, and I don't know. I think you mentioned it last time, or I'm pretty sure it was you. I don't think it was Scott, but it could have been Scott. I don't remember. But, like, you know, are they really two separate characters or are they one character?
Yeah. I think they're two in this time of this episode. But I'm wondering if one of them actually died in the fire and the other one is kind of to deal with that has manifested a personality of the other one.
True.
So,
and that could be
split personality. So, because, I mean, I guess at the end of episode 2, we supposedly saw May shoot a stun gun towards Osha when she was on a speeder bike.
All the way around. Osha shot it at May because May was
escaping. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. That's right. But so, but we don't know if that actually happened because they were so far apart.
True. I don't know. You mentioned this at the very beginning, but I thought it was interesting that the title only was one word when the others have been two. It'll be interesting to see what episode four's title is. Because they're not releasing them yet, right?
No, I don't think so, but we can check real quick. I got it open.
I don't remember seeing anything for upcoming. Like, it doesn't say anything. And the other thing I forgot, and I know we talked about this, but I forgot about it, was you know, it's at a set time now. Like, I was all excited Tuesday because I had some free time, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch this. And then I was like, oh, crap, I got to wait till tonight.
It's a different time, too. Yeah.
So,
yeah, the next episodes aren't released still.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if we see two names, you know, back, or do they go to a single name, you know, again?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I think kind of like what you're saying, it's a yin and yang kind of thing, and that's what the two titles were for me, kind of, in my mind, but they're kind of like one in this episode, so maybe that's why there's only one title. I don't know. Well, we could be grasping the straws.
That, or just because it was the backstory, like it showed the, you know, the beginning. I don't know. This one is definitely, I think, piecing together really well. Three episodes in. It's like they've done their homework and they've put it together and, you know, made it where it makes sense. Because I was worried about this episode. I thought this was going to be one of those, like, you know, and we're just going to have to get through it. But this one actually, you know, kind of tied it together. So probably the next episode will be a little bit slower paced, you know.
Right. That's what I was just thinking.
I don't know. I'm liking it so far, man.
It's pretty good. It's, I'm not quite sure if it's, I hate comparing other Star Wars properties to each other, but they tend to do that a lot on the internet, of course. I'm not quite sure if it's as good as Andor yet, but it's getting pretty close, at least in my mind. Andor was pretty cool, and it jumped around and all kinds of stuff. It was just, you know.
Well, the appeal with Andor was is we knew the outcome before it started. Like, we knew what the end was going to be like. Well, I mean, we it's not over, but we knew what they were building to. Like, so we knew everything from how it was supposed to end and what we saw from the beginning, and then everything that we watched in between, we knew was making sense for that.
Yep. That too. Which
don't really know so much.
In other news, I saw an article that where they interviewed Dave Filoni, you know, which we know now is he's in charge of all of Star Wars. They're in the middle of still writing and filming some more for season two of Acolyte. So that's going to happen.
That's good.
And they Andor season two has already been filmed and is in post-production. And those all have to come out before Filoni's movie, which is supposed to, you know, be in theaters and such. Maybe it may just be a streaming movie. I don't know for sure anymore.
And isn't that 2025?
Yeah, something like that. 2025.
So that's good for us, because that means they're setting something up for the fall, something going through the winter, and then probably something again in the spring. So
let's hope so.
So we'll probably see the Acolyte again a year from now, next spring. And then maybe Skeleton Crew. Well, we know Skeleton Crew's coming out next, so that'll be the next one. And then maybe we'll see Andor through the winter then.
It'd be nice. I don't like the long breaks that they do sometimes.
Well, but they're gonna be pushing stuff out because they got to get caught up because of the strike. Like, well, you know, true. They've got to get, you know, I think. And I think that's probably part of the reason with why he's going with Amanda, the movie, instead of doing the series again, because they already had so many other things, you know, going.
So, I don't know. I'd like to see another season of The Mandalorian before the movie.
Well, I would too. I mean, yeah, but I don't know that that's going to happen. But
yeah,
who knows?
All right.
Feedback at kylejohansen.us. That's feedback, kylejohansen.us.
Yes. So we need some feedback. You've taken in what we've said and what you've seen and what we talked about. We want you to send us what you think about it at that email address, feedback@kylejohansen.us. We've got a link on our website where there's a form you can fill out for feedback. And I think you can type as much as you want in there. There's no limit on characters. We're also on X/Twitter. We're called Super_Duper_Pod. We're on the Blue Sky Network also, at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. We're on audio and video on Apple Podcasts, and you can put comments there. We're also on YouTube, video and audio. Comments will go there. So there's plenty of places to put comments. Lots of places for me to look at, which can be annoying, but that's fine. Put them in there wherever you want. And we look forward to hearing from you.
He's got plenty of time on his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Send me the feedback. So I've been also working on another page, too, for our website called About Us. And you know how a lot of websites will have a thing and it'll have like, you know, who the people are and what a bunch of links and, you know, email addresses and stuff. So I'm gathering it all on one page, basically. So people can click on it and then there'll be links to other things like where to send feedback, where to go to us on social media and all that. I'm not giving phone numbers or anything, but I want to put a phone number, and I do have a phone number reserve that I use for work, but I own it myself, and it's a Google phone number. Yeah. And if we really wanted to, people could send us voicemails. I just haven't ever publicized the phone number. I'm thinking about putting it on there.
You just outed me. Now the Business Protection Program has to relocate me.
Yeah. So there's that, and then you know, we do have, I've told you guys before, we do have a place where there's a place called Ko-fi, K-O-F-F-E, I think is it is, or I can't remember what it is, but it's one of those websites where people can donate, and the idea is you give a cup of coffee, how much it costs for a cup of coffee, kind of thing. We've had you know, we've been registered to that site for ever since the podcast began. I've just never done it because we've never had a crowd of anybody of any type. I've never publicized it. So I was thinking about putting that on there too. Just so it's all kind of there in the place, but we don't have to talk about it all the time. It's just there. If people want to go to the website, they can find it there, kind of thing.
So in other words, you're encouraging people to not work while they're at their jobs. Way to go, man. Thanks. Appreciate that. I really need that.
Want them to listen to our podcast all the time.
I need my history page to change a little bit when HR checks it at work.
Yeah.
The news, Rusty Myers, fishing, and Cabela's. Now I can add some more to it.
Yeah. I've before Scott's volunteered to create a separate page just for our podcast on Facebook, but I don't know. Then somebody has to manage it and post to it on stuff all the time.
True.
So, and I haven't had a post a Facebook account for, I don't know, 15 years now. I don't know if I'd know how to do it anymore.
Well, it's all changed, and it changes like every week. So, yeah.
And they change the permissions, so you got to go back in and fix them so that.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So that's our podcast. Any other things you got to say about the episode, Rick?
No, I think I've said pretty much everything I thought. I think this is, it's off and running really well.
Yeah, it's turning out to be a pretty good story.
There's going to be a boring episode coming up. I know that, but you know, it's done really well. I'm hooked into it. So
I don't know. So this, the showrunner and creator, and this is no, you know, whatever you want to call it, but it's a female that's running it. So don't take anything against what I'm saying about that. I'm saying it because I think sometimes women think more about things like that and how it goes together. Yeah. And I'm wondering if because of that, we may have less filler stuff than we do normally.
Could.
It'll be more tying together stuff, but not as fillery, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we know there's some action coming because we've seen the trailers and the previews and stuff. So we know there's like some good fights yet to happen.
Yeah.
Even if there is a boring or, you know, whatever episode, there's going to be some stuff that's going to keep you enthralled, I guess.
I'm wondering, you know, the story is called The Acolyte, and I'm wondering if, you know, May, who is supposedly our acolyte, if she actually ends up killing all the four Jedi that she's hunting, or if it ends and she's been converted in or something stupid like that. I don't know. Well, I'm just curious how that's going to go.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say. The other thing about it that I think is appealing too is we don't know any of these characters. Like, none of these characters are characters that we know. Like, and so far we haven't seen a connection with, you know, we talked about this, I think, last week. Well, I know we did. I just don't remember which episode. But we don't know any of the characters. This is all new characters to the Star Wars, you know, universe, whatever. So I think you got a little bit more of a buy-in because you don't have that bias or opinion of character A or character B. They're all new characters. So it's going to be interesting if they do make connections with some of these characters to, you know, characters down the road. But we also know that there is some overlap because we looked at the timeline, you know. So there is characters that we know will show up, but what's the connection between characters that we may not know? You know, like, is one of these the great, great, great granddaddy of, you know, so-and-so? Or influence, you know, somebody or something. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm still sticking with that was Mace Windu that went into that temple.
Could be.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it from episode 2.
Could be. Could be. I don't know. I kind of think is this they're showing us this stuff because this is really actually the time when the beginning of the Jedi start to fall, and the evil forces start to rise a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because people start to realize, oh, what are these Jedi doing? Why are they taking out children? You know, whatever it is. Like I said, it's in Acolyte. It seems kind of creepy. We don't really get that in any other episode, any other show. We hear about them talking, but they make it almost kind of creepy.
But that's also by the design, because this is supposed to be a little darker side of the, you know, of the creation, I guess, of the story. We're seeing the darker pages instead of the uplifting, you know, pages that we've all been familiar with so far of the entire, you know, like, I don't want to say universe because that just makes, you know, but the storyline, we're seeing the darker side of the storyline now. Hey, exactly. By the way, I thought about this too, and I was going to say it earlier and I forgot, but the two moon things, like there's like a connection with that too. Like on the planet between the two girls, like, you know, because one of them was like dark and the other one was like light even. So the duality of, you know, of that, there's a lot of symbolism that I think, you know, as the season progresses, we're going to like, oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And I didn't even notice that. I thought about the two moons and stuff and them, but I didn't notice that there was a difference in what the visually or anything like that.
One of them is like, I don't know, is it like reddish pink maybe? And the other one is like a white yellow kind of thing. So yeah. I think one of them actually has like a line or a sphere, or not a sphere, but a, like, I don't know what you would call it, a point of light or something. That's like, I don't have to go back and look at it now that I say that, but I just thought it was interesting that there were two moons because I was trying to remember.
You can't see it on the camera.
On Tatooine, that there's two moons with Anakin.
There's two suns.
Two suns. Maybe that's what it is. And yeah. I'm saying moons. Maybe it's suns. I don't know. But two, like, you know, like the two things there. So I don't know. Maybe I thought about that a little bit too much.
I don't know if you can see that there. The first row, over in the far side, there's a symbol there. It's like two wings and it's got like a star in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that kind of what you see for the over there? It's way far away, but is that kind of what you're thinking about for the moons
you saw? Not really, no. I don't know. You'll have to go back to the episode and watch it. Like, I just saw it was, I'm trying to think on where the scene was. Maybe it was when they were coming. I don't remember if they were coming back to the fortress, the castle or whatever, and it like just panned off to the side and had them. Or if it was during like the ceremony or something. That, I mean, it's there. Like, it's not just like camera pauses, long dramatic, 1001, 1002, right. 3. But it's there subtle enough that you're like, you see it, and it's like, because it made me think, like, somewhere else I'd seen two, and I thought it was on with Anakin or Luke, one or the other, on the planet. But I couldn't remember for sure what it was. And so I just think
it was a sunset with two suns.
Yeah, there's something symbolic with that. And it makes sense because, you know, it's the two girls.
Yeah. And the way you described it to me, and maybe it's just my mind being weird, but whenever I see the two moons that were in the episode, I see a crescent moon. So there's two crescent moons is what I see. I don't see two circles. I don't know why that is. But the way, because you described it just now, the way you described it, that's why I thought of that Jedi symbol. Because that's the Jedi symbol. It's two wings, and then there's a star light or something in the middle. And it's almost exactly the same thing you described.
Well, go back and look at it. They're different colors. And I don't know if that, you know, means much or what, but they're different shades. But like one of them has like a, I would almost say like it's like a, you know, a skewer going through it, kind of like, you know, like globe would have that would spin on, but it's actually light. And the other one is just kind of like a half moon kind of thing, you know, like it's white, but the other part's like shaded out and you can kind of see the edge, you know. I don't know. Yeah. I just thought there's some symbolism to it that, you know, they're trying to subtly dump in and, you know, hoping that you would catch it or make a connection. And I recognize it, but I don't know that I'm making the connection or whatever. So,
yeah, and we're getting way off here, but I almost want to think from the way they keep bringing up the witches and stuff in these shows is that maybe they're trying to imply that this, you know, force ability has been around forever and it started with witches and it kind of split off.
True.
Because witches, you know, as we know from our history, you know, witches are people that can do weird and crazy kind of spells and whatever, and you know, make things disappear and stuff. Yep. Make things levitate, which witches have in our past supposedly have done, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're trying to imply that if the whole Jedi and Sith and everything, they're all splinters of witches of some sort.
Could make sense. Well, yeah. I mean, this is kind of the oldest stuff that we know so far, you know, kind of right. In terms of that, you know, that we've seen. So, but exactly. We know the Jedi were around during that time, and obviously now the Sith have been around during that time too. So they've all been in the same time frame. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out more as this progresses because they'll go farther back into the history part. I don't know.
Good point. I can't remember exactly, but there's a record that they have of like, I don't know, it's like 25,000 years in the past is when the first Jedi, you know, happened or whatever.
Or shows up.
Shows up as a religion or whatever you want to call it. I kind of see the Jedi as a religion in a way, because that's kind of the way they say it's not, but that's kind of the way it's portrayed as, you know.
Well, yeah,
it's a cult. Let's just say, you know.
Yeah,
for a bad word, but it is, you know.
Yeah,
I'm also the kind of person that thinks that most major religion is kind of a cult too, because you know they kind of do the same thing. They all want you to worship their thing and do their thing, and then if you don't do it, then you're bad. You know.
Yeah.
You're against the cult.
They're just a bunch of hippies living on a commune.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get out of here. We've been talking too long. So,
thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://. rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us.
Uh-oh.
This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney,
not at all.
Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
Very bad.
I am Kyle John Johansson.
It's me.
This is Andrew Scott Sutton.
Nope.
Say goodbye now.
Just Rick. Just Rick. No Andrew. And I do need to redo that. That's kind of my goal around a lot of this. Organizing at the site differently and stuff is to make this a little shorter too. So let's say, like, you know, go to this and then everything's there. And anyway, let's stop recording.